This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to this Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, as brought to you by Innovated Construction. Our good friends Randy and Stephanie Green were in studio just a couple weeks ago telling you a little bit about their second generation company, fully licensed, bonded, and insured for all of your construction needs. Innovated Companies now has put everything under one roof, whether it be construction, heating and cooling, electric. They walk you through every step of the process. New construction, project planning and consulting. They do residential, commercial, and industrial. Design build projects is what they're specializing in these days. Give them an opportunity for your business. Check them out at innovatedcompanies.com. Happy to be coming to you from the lineupmedia.fm studios. I'm looking at some of the Twitter questions and our poll as we begin the show today, and I'm excited to talk to our good friend. Let's bring him in now on the m4byyachty.com hotline, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Oh, nothing, man. I'm doing good. Excited to get the show on the road, baby. Let's do it.
Well, you know, it seems like we're kind of in that dragging on process. I think we got our hopes up pretty early. Lots of talk and nothing like talk to get a fan base riled up. And it seems like things have come to a slow roll. The general manager meetings are next week. Or is it a week? A little bit longer than that. Maybe about 2 weeks almost. December 10th, I think, is when they meet. That, to me, is kind of when this thing really gets going. I am surprised that no dominoes have fallen yet, but typically the GM meetings is where a lot of this stuff goes down. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. It's the number one area where they meet face-to-face instead of calling by the phone. That time is when the winter meetings happen. It's when they're really, really, really everything starts happening, man. I tell you from experience.
Well, we've got a lot to cover today. Like I said, we have some great questions. We had an interesting Twitter poll to get to. I want to remind everybody, check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website. It's where you can find the current show. You can also subscribe to the podcast, which is completely free. Do your shopping at Amazon. We get a small referral. Doesn't cost you anything. Helps us with our production costs simply by clicking the end of the Amazon banner on twobirdsonabat.com. Follow us on our social media pages. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. You can find us on Instagram by simply typing in Two Birds on a Bat Show. Our main ask of you, though, is find us on Facebook by typing in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page, click invite your friends, and invite all your Cardinal fans to be a part of our Two Birds on a Bat Facebook page and get involved in the Cardinal conversation that we have through Facebook. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm for all their support. We couldn't do the show without them. I want to thank them very much. I also want to thank our social media affiliation that we have with all the great Facebook groups. Starts with Nate McHenry, of course, and the RallySquirrel.com club. If you want to be a member of that club, check it out at RallySquirrel.com. The premium podcast that you receive each week, and, of course, the opportunity for all the wonderful prizes through their partners at Fan Cave Sports. Check that out at RallySquirrel.com. Cheaper than the price of a cup of coffee, you can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Special thanks to Chris Lawless with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. He does such a great job. Looks like he's going to take us up on our offer and join us here real soon on the show. I'm excited about that. Another gentleman I'm excited to have on is from Art City Sports, McLight. Like to get his thoughts as well. Cardinal Freaks have been with us since the beginning as well. Happy to have St. Louis Cardinals fans unite on board and our newest affiliation with Everything STL Sports. All great pages. Check them out if you want to stay up to date on what's going on with why. For some of them, it's more than just Cardinal baseball. It's everything when it comes to St. Louis sports. Let's dive right in to our first topic of the day. My question to you is this. I got a little riled up, and it kind of is not a Cardinal thing, but I got to get your thoughts, Benji. We had a media member now putting his own two cents into whether or not a DH should be in the Hall of Fame. Why do these media guys feel the need to put their own rules on what a Hall of Famer is or isn't?
If you ask me personally, they shouldn't have a vote, and they shouldn't have even a thought of who should be in the Hall of Fame. That's my personal opinion, right?
Right.
I think they're not supposed to say Willie Mays is in the Hall of Fame or whoever, you know, in this case.
Right.
So with that being said, I think that's how it's been forever, right?
Right.
So I guess there's not a change coming up. It is really sad that that has to do with it. And if DH cannot go in the Hall of Fame, why do we have the position? Why do we have that position? Oh, he doesn't play first base. Well, listen, you put the DH on, you know, and, you know, so why can't we have a DH guy with the best DH or something like that go into the Hall of Fame? It is a position. For me, as a player, that's a job. What? Do you not, when the games come, do you think David Ortiz was the best DH ever and had home runs against the Yankees, had home runs in the World Series to win games in the playoffs? So that doesn't count because he's a DH. He's not going in the Hall of Fame. Come on, man. This is getting really ridiculous if you're the MLB or whoever's making these comments. I don't think anybody should make any comment about a DH. It's a position, period. You go in or you're not going. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And like I said, I don't know if Edgar Martinez is a Hall of Famer. He may very well be a Hall of Very Good. That's fine if you want to have that conversation. But for a media guy to say, well, you know, he didn't have to play a position like some of the other guys. He had to do this. So I just simply said, okay, well, then I'm going to pay attention to what he does with David Ortiz then. Right? Now,
yeah, but it is a position. You know what, Jimbo? It is a position. It's a DH position. If we're talking about the best baseball in the world, we're not talking about high school. We're not talking about little leagues. We're talking about MLB, like the best of the best. There's no higher league than this. And you have a DH position, and you're trying not to count on it? And I'm not talking about Edgar Martinez, because if you put Edgar Martinez in the Hall of Fame, you got to put a lot of other guys that had a little better numbers than he did. But I get that point. I mean, I want Edgar. He's my cousin. I want him in the Hall of Fame. I don't care. I want him. He deserves to be there. But I'm not talking about that. So then why having the position? It's like having a middle relief, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's not a Hall of Fame candidate. But he pitched 5,000 innings, and he struck out 10 million guys. But no, that's not a position. You know what I'm saying? That's not fair.
Yeah, I just find it odd. And, you know, some of these guys, like I really took Jeff Passan to task. He's going to make a stand, and he's given up his vote because Joe Morgan sent out his opinion about steroid guys in the Hall, and he's calling him a hypocrite. You know, and again, I don't care if Joe Morgan's right or wrong. All right, Joe Morgan has earned the right to his opinion. People can say, well, Jeff Passan votes for Hall of Fame. He's entitled to his opinion. He absolutely is entitled to his opinion. That's not what this is about. To act as if Joe Morgan should not have an opinion, right or wrong, is crazy. It's crazy. And again, he might be wrong. I don't even care. That's not even my point. I assure you Joe Morgan has earned his opinion. That's my point.
Yeah, a lot of people, like this kid, this man that don't want no vote, Why did he feel so bad about what Joe Morgan said? If your job is to vote in a guy or not, you didn't even play baseball. You never play. You never play in the highest level. So why do you feel so bad and you have to give up your vote because Joe Morgan said that? Why? There's no reason for him to give up. It's because he's probably guilty of voting for those guys. Because really, if you really think about it, Jimbo, the Hall of Fame guys, there's a lot of wife beaters, and I heard, you know, I'm not
well, sure.
This is not something I know, but there's a lot of drunk guys. There's a lot of, but there's no steroids. And for the fans out there that are newer, the steroids give you an edge over anybody. And I'm going to tell you why. The steroids is an era where when you work out for an hour, your body is exhausted. But with steroids, you work out for 2 hours and you want more. You know what I'm saying? So that gives you a lot of edge over a normal person that is trying to do the right thing. That's what steroids does. Plus, by you working out twice as much as that guy that never used steroids, you have the advantage. You have the advantage to hit more home runs. Yes, you still have to hit them. You still have to hit the ball. You can strike out. You can do whatever you want, but he gives you an edge, and that's what they're saying about cheating. The steroid is cheating, and I believe it. I never was tempted to use steroids, but, dude, the steroids give you an edge, and I'm a little bit with Joe Morgan, but not all of it. But I think whoever used steroids and made those numbers and you put them in the Hall of Fame is going to make the whole Hall of Fame look bad. And wife beater and drunks and all that stuff, whatever you want to call it, it's not the same as cheating for the game, because the drunks didn't play drunk. The guys didn't play drunk and did better. Or the wife beater didn't go to, you know what I'm saying? Like, steroid give you an edge over a lot of guys. And I get his points, you know, he doesn't want anybody in there. But people are getting it all mixed up. And I mean, it's kind of crazy to believe that a guy that used steroids is going to go in. It's really, really weird to think that's going to happen. But, hey, we're going that way. And that guy probably felt guilty. And that's why he said, I'm giving up my vote. Yeah, because you probably voted for those guys. How the heck Manny Ramirez being caught 3 times? And I love Manny. Manny's one of my favorite guys, and he's very, very, really, really cool guy. And I love the guy. But, what I mean, 3 times being caught with steroids? It's like disrespecting the game, right? Yeah. Or A-Rod being caught 3 times. You know that it's illegal and still did it 3 times or 2 times. And you still got caught. And you think that's valuable, that's moral for going into a Hall of Fame, and he still got 24%. See, that's what I don't get.
Well, I wouldn't know. I mean, I've never, but, you know, I think one of the things, you know, the comments, the wife beaters, the drunks, all that kind of stuff is one thing. I think the big thing is the amphetamines and the stuff like that were very popular around major league clubhouses in the 70s and 60s, 70s, 80s. Guys were taking greenies, and they were, you know, the guys said there used to be jars of speed and stuff so that guys could play, and they, you know, that enhanced their game on the field. So I think that was a little bit maybe into play too. I mean, do you have any experience of knowing guys doing that kind of stuff?
Oh, I got a lot of experience. I'm not just going to name names right now, but I have a lot of experience of guys using it, and I have both reactions. And I wanted to say, Jimbo, I'm talking about this as a player, not a guy that is retired. I'm talking about this as a player. So, and I have both chances to be with guys using it and guys who didn't use it, but I have both reactions. The guy who used it went from 5 home runs last year to 2 home runs this year using it. But the other guy went from 10 home runs to hitting 27, 30 home runs. So I've been in both sides. And I thought inside of me, I thought it was really, really unfair to me and to the teams that didn't use it as a player. It was very unfair. But I tried to block it out. And I try to go out, play, and say, you know what, I'm going to have my career, and I'm going to worry about the career and worry about the team winning, and that way I don't have to think about guys using it or not, and that way it doesn't distract me from having a good career, which that's what I was thinking when I was playing at that time, because I saw it. I was around that time where everybody was, you know, I don't know if everybody was using it, but at least some of them are using it. I saw some of them. So I don't know, man. I was just trying to block it out and say, you know what? I'm going to concentrate on my career, you know, as good as God wants me to be. And that's it. You know, I could have used steroids and try to make myself better to have better numbers for a Hall of Fame. But that's not what I was thinking. I was trying to stay away from it because I thought it was cheating. And I thought I felt bad about the other guys. And I said, whatever God wants, that's what it's going to be. And if I'm not numbers for a Hall of Fame, then I'm not, you know, I was fine with it.
Huh. Interesting. Cause you know, I've said too that, you know, there's a lot of proof too, that steroids started a lot sooner than we think they did. I mean, if anybody thinks Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco were the first two guys to use steroids in Major League Baseball, I think you've got your, once again, no different than the people did at that time. You also have your head buried in the sand. I'm willing to bet that there were some guys in the decade before Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco that experimented with steroids and were not familiar with it. I there's just no way that it was those two guys that were the first ones. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, steroids got kind of popular in other sports in the 60s.
Yeah. You know what? I think that if you were proven guilty, right? If you were proven, okay, Jimbo was proven that he did it. You know, he was suspended. He was anything that they do, you know, whatever. You're proven that you were guilty. You shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And this is coming from an old school guy, right? Obviously, a new school guys will tell you different because the new school guys think probably that that's not nothing wrong with it and you still have to hit and all these things. And I get them, and that's fine. That's their opinion. But coming from an old school guy, I love when the game was even for everybody, right? Like when instead of I'm being strike out three times by a guy who used steroids and he threw 98, 97, instead of if he doesn't use steroids, maybe he throws 94, maybe 93, and I can hit him. Things like that. Those are the things that I get in my head. Like how many guys used it that freaking threw gas or maybe strike me out, you know, yeah. Things like that. So I think of it all the time, but I don't put any finger on anybody because I really don't know unless it's the guy that got caught, you know?
Yeah, and it's a hard thing because, you know, I tend to feel kind of the same way as you. Like, I guess if you got caught, you got caught. But we can't put our head in the sand and not believe that there aren't guys that used them that didn't get caught. But then I also believe whose job is it to assume that a guy did it? You know, I mean, I look at some names. I mean, some of the names that, you know, there are a lot of rumors, but where did the rumors come from? Like Jeff Bagwell or Mike Piazza? Are they were they guys that just people are like, well, boy, they look like they did them, so I think they did them? Or was there rumblings? Was there people spilling beans on them? And they said, I don't know. That's the hard part of this whole thing for these guys that were supposedly using them.
Yeah, that's the tough part about it because you don't want to assume somebody did. That's not the right thing to do. That's why I said very clearly, if the guy has been caught and it tested positive, that you know that it tested positive and he's guilty, that's a different topic. But if you have a rumor or somebody's mentioned your name on it or, oh, I think this guy did it. No, that I don't go with that. I go with if you're guilty and you've been proven, tested, whatever, then I have my opinion on you. But if you haven't been tested or proven guilty, I cannot say anything about that because I don't like doing that. I don't like the rumors or, you know, assuming. That's the word I hate too, potential and assuming. You know, I don't assume anything. I like to know.
Well, here's a tough one for you then, and we'll end on this before we get to our Cardinal talk. This is a tough one probably for you. You played with him. You saw how good he was. Let's face it, he's he's the official home run king, Barry Bonds. To my knowledge, he never failed the test, but he sure was accused a lot, spent a lot of time in a courtroom, was associated. The evidence against him sure seems awful damning for a guy that was never formally prosecuted or fail the test. So does Barry Bonds belong in the Hall of Fame?
I got a couple takes on that, like you just said and mentioned. If he's never been proven guilty, never. If he's never done it and never proven guilty, yes, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. He's our best hitter of all time, right? He's the best home run hitter. He did an awful lot of things. Also, another point that you have to mention, he was the Hall of Fame before all this crap came about the steroids, right? So that's another point they might be thinking too, that they're saying, okay, he was already a Hall of Fame. That didn't help him become a Hall of Fame. He's not a guy that has been mediocre or something, all of a sudden he used steroids and became a Hall of Famer. That's a different story. But that depends on how people want to see it. Like I said before, if the guy has never been proven guilty and he has never tested positive for steroids, that, to me, he needs to be in the Hall of Fame because he's never been tested. He's never been proven. That's what I mean by, even if you assume that the guy did it, I mean, that doesn't mean he did it. That's what I'm saying. It's hard for me to say, sit here and say, okay, I assume he did it. No, he doesn't belong. That's not what I'm trying to say. If you're proven guilty, I really believe, in my opinion, that nobody should be in if you are proven, right? But he have never been proven. So if that's the case, then he belongs in there because he's one of our best hitters in our generation.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough thing because, you know, I believe me, I hear you. That's a hard thing for me because then I think the message is, well, not, you know, we're going to reward the guys that cheated and did a really good job of covering it up. I mean, it's just a tough thing because, again, you don't know. We're in a tough spot here. It's an era, so to speak. Listen, and here's the other thing too. It hasn't stopped. Guys are still doing it. I mean, if there's one thing we learned that people,
it's hard, man.
It is hard. But here's the thing: I don't want people to think, and this is what kills me. People think that guys aren't doing it anymore because they're not getting caught. If you paid any attention at all to the one thing that came out during that whole process, especially with Barry Bonds, if you really paid attention, what was the one thing you learned? What you learned was it was one thing that the guys were doing it. What they were more concerned about is what they were putting in their body to hide it. And those people were always one step ahead of the testers. And they said as much. So why would anybody believe that isn't continuing today?
Ways to do it, right?
Yeah. I don't understand why all of a sudden people think if that's what was going on 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that's what they were doing was not only were they putting stuff in their body, but they were hiding it and that they were ahead of the testers. Why would anybody think that's changed? I don't understand that.
Well, it might not be changed, Jimbo, but it's a little bit more like scared when you have suspensions of whatever it is, 25, 50, 80 a year. It's pretty scary. You don't get paid on those days. Plus, your reputation goes to hell. Nobody might want to sign you anymore. Who knows? But you know, there's more downside these days to people to try it, right? I mean, I'm not saying there's not out there. I don't know. It could be. They could still be out there, but it is a lot more downside these days because you could really, really be hurt, and you don't want your career to be over by just being caught. You know, like some kids from Dominican or Venezuela or something that they've been caught in the minors. Their careers, man, they might be over, man. They might be over. Like, you lost your chance. Maybe you got 80 games suspended and you're in the minor leagues. You think your career is going to take off? It's kind of hard, man. It's kind of scary for those guys who try to do it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see kind of, you know, where we go from here. But, again, I just thought that was worthy topic of conversation only because, you know, Jeff Passan, most notably, is on the Yachty's Not a Hall of Famer bandwagon, purely based on a few numbers. And once again, another writer that doesn't understand how the game's played because I can't.
Because he never played.
Well, I can't find a guy, a player, a Hall of Famer, that doesn't say Yachty's a Hall of Famer. That's the thing. That's what irritates me. Okay, it's bad. You know, I just, that irritates me to no end. Just no end.
And so, listen, Jimbo. What is the matter with putting the guy in, and all of a sudden you found out for real, that he's not assuming, but you find out later that he did use it, and we can prove it. Well, take him off the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Why can't you do that too? Like, if you can prove it, if you cannot prove it right now, put him in. I mean, you have no proof. You have no nothing. You have nothing on him to say he did it. Put him in. And if later on something comes up and, yes, he did it, he admits it, or whatever it is, whatever the case may be, well, take him off. Very simple.
Well, let's get into some Cardinal talk. We've kind of put that off as we address the Hall of Fame stuff. We want to remind everybody about Steve and Emily's wonderful contest that they have for all of our listeners out there. Remember, you can win two tickets to Cardinal opening day, compliments of Steve and Emily Flowers. We're going to hear from them here in just a quick second. All you got to do is call Steve-O, ask him a mortgage question. If you've let him fill out an application for you, that's more entries. And then if you wind up doing a loan with him, that's a whole bunch more. Or if you have people calling with those entries as well. Let's hear from Steve and Emily real quick. And then when we come back, we're going to look at our Twitter poll, look at some of our questions, and hear from Benji Molina with his thoughts on your questions. See you on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Great stuff from Steve and Emily, and we appreciate their support. And notably, he's not here once again after the Cowboys put on quite a awful comedic clinic on national television at home on Thanksgiving. So he's not here, and he was laughing about that when he texted me and said he had a meeting and couldn't come. He goes, I know you guys are going to blame it on the Cowboys losing, but I'm really busy. So, and I'm like, okay, sure you are. Let's get right into our Twitter poll, which is brought to you by Innovated Heating and Cooling, another one of the innovated companies that take care of all your heating and cooling needs. This was a good one. I thought was interesting, and I purposely did it this way, so I'm going to read this one to you. Who would you most like to see in the Cards bullpen next season? Now, I notably left off the top two closers on the market, and that was Greg Holland and Wade Davis. And the reason I did this was because I could, you know, this could be an interesting way for the Cardinals to go. And that is some guys, and three of these guys have some experience in closing, I think could close. And then Brandon Morrow's kind of the flavor of the day. So I kind of went that route. So, Benji, I'm going to ask you to answer the question. I'll give you my answer, and then we're going to talk about the results and then get your thoughts on these guys. So the question was simply, who would you, out of the four, you got to pick one, of these four, who would you like to have in your Cardinals bullpen next year? Brian Shaw, the great setup man from Cleveland, Addison Reed, Juan Nicasio, who was here and had the opportunity to close for the last month of the season for the Cardinals after being an eighth-inning guy for the Pirates, and Brandon Morrow, who did a great job for the LA Dodgers on their run this year. Of those four, if you could pick just one, the Cardinals were going to get one of these four. Which one would you have in your bullpen?
Holy moly, man. You put it tough because all four of them deserve to be in the Cardinals, right?
Right.
I mean, I take any four of them. But I got to pick one. So, you know what? I think it will be Brian Shaw.
Okay.
And the reason is that Brian Shaw throws a natural cutter.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that we're facing a lot of good left-hander pitchers and hitters in our division. A lot of them. And most of them come from the Cubs. The Milwaukee Brewers, we're going to face them a lot. And the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then Votto and company.
All right.
We're all going to face them. A lot of tough left-hander, and Shaw gives us the best opportunity to get those guys out with that hard, hard cutter. And he's nasty, by the way.
Yeah, he is nasty. You know, it's funny that you said Shaw. I'm going to tell you that my vote was Addison Reed. Everybody knows I'm on the Addison Reed bandwagon, right? I love it because he's closed.
I said all of them are good.
That's right.
All of them are good.
But what's interesting is Nicasio won the vote in a landslide. He got half the vote. And I think
I hope he's in there, man. Hope he's in there with that switch.
My guess would be Nicasio is the favorite because we saw him do it. Right? Like he came in and we had guys struggling in the bullpen. Cardinal fans were like, God, can I please get somebody? Rosenthal goes down. They bring this guy in and all he did was pitch well. So I'm sure fans are like, listen, it's not that hard. This guy was here for a month and did really well. Right? So, hey, listen, I'm on board 100%. No problem. Everybody knows I like Addison Reed. But what's interesting is Brian Shaw got the least amount of votes. You like Brian Shaw. You have a technical reason why you like Brian Shaw. I want to give everybody a stat here that John Heyman shared about Brian Shaw. And this stat's going to do two things. Number one, it's going to tell you why Brian Shaw maybe should be the guy. But it's also going to tell you maybe why he shouldn't be the guy. Okay?
Okay.
No surprise.
I didn't know numbers. So
okay. Well, hang on. No. This is interesting. This isn't like... He is the only free agent reliever with 70 appearances and 20 holds in the last 2 years, and he has done that the last 4 years. So this is a two-part thing from Heyman, which I find very interesting, based on a lot of Cardinal fans and their absolute hate for the bullpen and the way it's used, okay, with as far as appearances, and thinking that guys' appearances relate to performance. I've tried to say this 100 times over. The bullpen is not a healthy place to be for a pitcher. They don't last very long. Their effectiveness doesn't last very long. The fact that Brian Shaw is the only middle reliever in baseball to appear 70 times and have 20 holds the last 2 years, and he's done it 4 years in a row, tells you that they are far and few between. They do not have long careers. They typically have a couple of years, and then they're out. Okay, except for the lefty specialist type guys. But that's the thing. Okay, so before we go freaking out about Bowman and Seth Maness and all
that,
these
though,
guys,
right?
they just don't have long careers. Okay?
I know.
They just don't. So what's interesting is Brian Shaw, though, has kind of been an enigma. He has had a nice run here. You wonder how long will that continue because it doesn't appear that guys in middle relief have very long careers. But Brian Shaw, to your point, has been a guy that's been as consistent or more consistent than any of the four. That's why I thought that was interesting.
I think that for us to pick a guy has to be a guy that can get righties and lefties out. And if we have that opportunity to get a guy that can get both sides out, it's a plus for us because knowing that hopefully, Brett Sissel come back and be the way that he could be, you know, be a good guy against left-handers. I think it should be him, you know, like,
sure.
I think it should, you know, like should be him getting lefties. But in this case, he came like last year where he wasn't a guy that we could depend on against lefties. At least Brian Shaw is that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Like sure.
A guy that did all those lefties and tough Schwarber, the right fielder for Hayward, Rizzo, and then all of a sudden you have that Milwaukee team that has a couple of left-handers, really good hitters. I mean, I'm just thinking ahead, right?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying Harrison Reed is not the guy, because he could be the great guy too. Nicasio, I love Nicasio and what he did. I mean, I love all those guys. And Brandon Morrow, he decided, I think his head is in L.A. You know, I think he wants to stay there. I think they're going to sign him. But he's a good candidate too. He throws gas out of the bullpen and pitch every day. So I think they're all good choices, but I think the one that fits really good for us right now is Brian Shaw, because he can get lefties out.
Yeah, he's had quite a run in Cleveland. He's had over 70 appearances every year since he's gotten there, 70, 80, 74, 75, 79. You know, he's been a good player, and to your point, his ability to get those guys out is amazing. I'm with you. I could see, you know, if I'll take any of those guys, really. I think any of them will help our bullpen, so I have no issue there. I do like guy. I mean, again, I think we're going to find ourselves in a position where we're going to need a guy that probably has some have some closing experience, because again, I'm not sure that we're going to have a traditional closer. So we'll see. Again, I don't know. I don't know if the market is slow to develop, because let's face it, the Cardinals aren't the only ones who haven't signed anybody. There's really been no movement, really, to speak of. None, zero. And I don't know that we can blame that on Stanton, because let's face it, there aren't that many people in on him. So it's interesting how the markets are kind of developing for these guys. I don't know if that means that the markets are really increasing for them in value. But we'll see. Like I said, the Cardinals have shown to this point that they seem to be in on a lot of guys and are checking all their stuff. But again, said it once, I'll say it again, they're going to get judged on what they do, not what they tried to do. So
let me tell the fans a little something about the free agency. If I'm Brian Shaw, I don't want to sign until Wade Davis signs. I don't want to sign until Greg Holland goes away. I don't want to sign until Addison Reed goes away, because that's what they're all thinking. That's what their mindset is, because you want to measure yourself through what, let's say Wade Davis goes out and get $17 million. Well, Greg Holland might want to go with 15, right? Or measure himself with it and try to go around something like that. So everybody, all those four guys are waiting for each other to go and say, okay, Brandon Morrow got $8 million to be a middle relief. So guess what? Brian Shaw is going to get 10 for something like that, you know,
right.
But that's how free agency goes. So if you don't see any action, doesn't mean it's not happening. It's underground. It's on the phone already. The people are talking, like I'm talking to the agent. Hey man, Addison Reed, we want him. What is this worth? And then you go out and talk to Greg Holland. Hey Greg, what's the deal here with your money? What do you want? What are you looking for? And they're all moving. It doesn't come out in the media, but they're all moving on the ground, man. They're all making calls to their agent and stuff like that to keep up, man, because they know how important it is, certain guys to your team, and you want them, but you still want to keep up. But the players also keep up too. I don't want to sign if Wade Davis haven't signed, because I don't want to put that guy below anything. I want to go by what the best guy in the market is, and that guy is Wade Davis, 17. Okay, I got to get 15, or I got to get 16. You know what I'm saying? That's how it goes.
Sure, and like I said, I have, you know, thoughts on all of that. I guess typically too, the only way that would change is if somebody comes in and blows a guy away with an offer of what he, you know, and again, all that does is change that market. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I know who I'd like to have. There's a group of guys that if we got two of them, I'd be happy, even if it wasn't Wade Davis. So we'll see what happens. If you gave me two of those four guys, I'm ready to go to work. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
hey, let's start our Twitter questions, which are brought to us by the other arm of Innovated Companies, Innovated Electric. Let's start with a kind of a fun one. I think this is kind of lighthearted. It's from Jake Dellert. You know, because I think he kind of sums up how we all feel, because I really think we all thought we were going to have a lot of action early. But he says, with the lack of hot stove so far, it's given us time to think about this. Who wears number 11 next year, Oquendo or DeJong?
That's an easy one. I would say, from being obviously being in baseball, I think Oquendo wears it.
Right.
But I wanna say something. Oquendo could be nice enough to say, DeJong, here, you wear it. I know you had a great year. I know you had an awesome offensive year and the whole year overall. I know you did, so here, wear it. You know, that could happen too, because I've seen that happen a bunch of times. But it could be seniority. That's Oquendo's number. I could see that happening. But from Oquendo's point, I could see him saying, you know what, I don't want to disrupt this guy. And I'm not blaming Oquendo's number for if DeJong fails or something, right? That's not the point.
Right.
But I'm just trying to say Oquendo, you know, just saying, hey, use it. Let's see what happens, you know, and it could go either way. But I think seniority, it's really probably going to take over, and he's going to have to find a new number.
Well, what's interesting is I think both of them have kind of said that I think they're both kind of like you know, whatever. The bottom line is I think DeJong said on Jim Hayes's podcast that, you know, he was going to let Oquendo decide if he wanted it. It was his number. He could have it. I think what's tough here is it wasn't just a coaching number for Oquendo. He played here, became kind of a cult hero here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of goes along. But, you know, you never know. Oquendo may be like, look, man, it's just a number. You wore it. You know what? I tell you what, I'm honored. And I could see Oquendo doing that. You know what? The guy, he's a young kid. He works hard. I got a lot of hope for him. I'm proud to have him wear my number. You could see something kind of like that. Who knows? But
yeah,
it is kind of fun to talk about.
Ways.
Sure. Yeah, it could go either way.
I could see it both ways. I mean, sometimes the coaching, you know, they're not really attached to a number, or so in some other ways they are attached. And then they say, hey, man. But in this case, DeJong is his first year. He had a great year with that number, but doesn't mean he cannot have a great year with number one. Or
well, he's not going to have number one. I can promise you that. There ain't going to be nobody wearing number one.
No, I know. It's just an example, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
He could have a great year with any number. I'm going to tell the fans a little quick story. When I got to the Angels, I wanted number 11 because that's the number I always use with my dad. Gave it to me, so. They said, nope, Jim Fregosi, I think, had it, right?
Right.
So, and he was retired, so I got number 5, you know, the guy said, here, number 5. I said, all right, cool, that's no big deal. So the 2000, here comes Ron Gant. You remember Ron Gant?
Oh, yeah.
He came to town, and he got traded to us. And I didn't even know he was number 5, right? I thought he's just Ron Gant. I mean, he's a really famous guy. And here comes the clubby, and he said, hey, Ron Gant wants his number back. And I said, why are you asking me like that? All you have to do is tell me, you know, here, Ron Gant wears number 5, and I'll give it to him. I'm more than glad, but you don't have to ask me like that. And then Ron Gant came in and saw me. He thought I was arguing for the number, and I wasn't. I was just, I don't care. I'm in the big leagues, bro. I mean, I'm a rookie. I don't care. You can give me half a number if you want. I don't care. I'm here. And he thought I was arguing. And he's like, well, he's a rookie and he's got no time here. I got the better end. And I went to him and I said, hey, Ron, you can have my number. You can have my brother's number. You can have his number, that guy's number. You can have all the numbers you want, bro. Nobody's arguing. I'm not arguing the number. And he made a big scene that he wanted number 5. So I gave him number 5. You know, obviously, I didn't care. I'm happy to be in the big leagues. And here comes the clubby. And he said, hey, Bimo, what number do you want? And I said, I don't care the number, man. I'm happy here. You give me whatever. And I said, what numbers do you have available? And he said, well, I got number 1. I said, wait. That's it. Number 1. That's it. Just give me number 1, and I'm happy with it. And that's how I became a number 1, you know. So to tell you that, I mean, it could happen to Paul DeJong. You know, he might not care about 11. He might say, you know what, I'm in the big leagues. I'm going to be the starting shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. You can give me 99 if you care. I don't give a crap. All I want is to play ball and do my numbers and keep going and winning and all that. You know, he might say that.
Well, yeah, I thought that was an interesting question only because it kind of ties in with what we're saying. It just seems like things have gotten a little stale here and a little quiet, and I think we were hoping to have some stuff to talk about when it comes to new players. So great question. We'll see what happens. Again, I don't know that it really matters, but at the end of the day, I'm sure those two will figure it out. There's some great stories out there about guys doing nice things for guys when they get their numbers. So hopefully it'll all's well that'll end well. And that was from Jake.
I didn't
Jake
get
Deller.
Anything, Jimbo.
You didn't get that?
I didn't even get – everybody's like, oh, he should give you a watch. And I told the guys, I said, do not work on it, because if he gives me a watch, I'm going to sell it for $5 on the street. I don't care about any gift from him. He can have his number, and I don't want anything. So they stopped.
Well – move on to the next question. Drizzy Drutzer, a constant contributor here, seems to always come up with a great question. He's a big supporter of the show, and we appreciate everything he's doing. This is an interesting question. This name has come up as a target for the Cardinals. He says, now with the Cardinals I'm going to read his, and then I'll kind of surmise. With Karp not having a set position and the possibility of having a new first baseman, what about packaging him to the Angels for Andrelton Simmons? Number one, what I would say is I don't know that they would want Karp. I guess they could. Pujols is kind of regulated to DH. I think they kind of have some other guys there. But who knows? Maybe I don't know if they were to trade Simmons that Karp would be the kind of guy they would want back. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating the value of Carpenter. If everybody's belief here is that he's not very good defensively and that would be the issue for him going to the American League, I think they're pretty set at DH at least for the next 4 years with Pujols' contract. Although I do like the idea of getting Simmons. I think he's a heck of a shortstop and would solve a lot of problems for us. I would personally play him at short and move DeYoung to third base. Your thoughts?
Well, I got blasted last time a couple times by people saying that I don't know how I was a baseball player and I end up blasting former players or players that are new, or I'm sorry. And I ended up always criticizing people and criticizing players. So I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to tell you this straight up, and hopefully I fill the blank. I would love to have Anderson Simmons. I would love to have him. Yes, I would love to have him here as a shortstop because he's a platinum glove guy, really great player. But I don't see it happen.
you don't think they're going to be too keen on getting rid of him?
Nope. The Angels are. He might be there forever. He might be there for a while.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, he's a heck of a player. I think, again, I go back to the fact that I think he sure would solve a lot of problems for us. I think it would put DeYoung in his natural position, in my opinion, which is third base, which he's done fine at short. Not saying he hasn't. So, you know, anybody out there that thinks I'm saying he can't play short, I mean, he did fine. He did better than I thought he would do, to be honest, and I felt like he got better, although I still think he probably projects more as a third baseman, but we shall see. I hope I'm wrong about that, of course, because, our need for a shortstop, he filled that void quite handsomely.
And it's only been 1 year.
Sure.
Don't forget that. We're talking about counting on him for next year to do the same numbers or better, right? That's what we're talking here, but we don't know what's going to happen if he gets into a little slump at the beginning and then Diaz starts hitting again, or we don't know what's going to happen. We're just counting on him being good as he was last year or better. That's why we're saying this.
Drew_Hedinger. Love your podcast, by the way. My question is, how much is it going to take to get to the World Series? I think getting Stanton, a Santana, and a few relief guys would help, but are we really capable of taking on a team like the Dodgers or Nationals? Love to hear your thoughts. So I think basically what he's asking us is even if we went out and got Stanton, like he said, maybe a secondary bat like a Carlos Santana, and then got a couple of these relief guys, does that make us good enough to be able to compete against teams like the Dodgers and Nationals, in your opinion?
No, I think we need more. I think we need two guys like we've been saying in the past. You know, we've been saying we need two named guys in the bullpen that can hold that fort for the whole team We need that. We need to close games. And we need two guys in the bullpen. We need at least one name bat, one really good bat in the middle of the lineup, at least one. And we need one starter. If you want to make it to the World Series, I could take that and I can go to war with the Cardinals with that. But if you can add two bats and you can bat two starters, the name starters, that would be better. But I could still go with one starter, two bullpen name guys at the back end to save the games, and then one at least one bat in the middle.
Well, he mentioned Santana, Carlos Santana and Stanton as the two bats in here. Would you, if those were the two bats they went and got, would that be good for you, good by you?
Not good enough because you don't fix the bullpen.
No. He then says a few relief guys. Now, he doesn't elaborate on relief guys. Maybe we're assuming he means just regular old relief guys versus proven guys. I don't know. But, maybe he's assuming that the guys we're talking about, like an Addison Reed or a Brian Shaw or a Nicasio.
Well, if that's the case, yeah. Yeah, of course. If you get those two guys in the middle of the lineup and then you get two guys in the back end of the bullpen that are named guys, I go to war. I'll go to war right now. And I bet you anything, they have a great, great chance to make it to the World Series.
Great question, Drew. Last question, Bob Bartnick, at Bob Bartnick. This is an interesting one, and I don't even know if you'd tell us if you knew the answer to this question. But I think he's asking because he's hoping maybe you do know and would share it. I don't think you would, even if you did. Has Yachty or any other Cardinal put in any calls to a certain slugger in Miami about playing in St. Louis?
I told you guys last show that I did that when I was with the Angels a couple of times, multiple times, like three or four times I called the guys that we were after to see if they wanted to come over to tell them how good the town was. I did it. I did it myself. But I don't know if Yachty is involved. I don't know if any of the players is involved in any negotiation or anything like that. I don't know. I don't have any idea what they're doing like that. But I did it. I did Bartolo, like I told you before, Escobar. I did the shortstop, Cabrera. I did Blatty. I did that. I called him, and I was one of the premier players there. So it could be. It could happen, It could happen. But do I know? No, I don't know.
Let me ask you this question. I know, and again, is that something Yachty would do? Would he have to be asked to do something like that, or is that something he'd do on his own because he felt it was important?
Oh, he doesn't want to get involved in the middle of any of that, obviously he wants to have Stanton here. He wants to have whoever can help us out in the lineup or whatever, but he doesn't want to get involved as a player. Like, I didn't want to get involved, but they call me to see if I want it. So I figure if Mo or Grish or somebody wants to have Yachty involved, and maybe Yachty could do a favor in calling whoever, in this case, Santana or Stanton or whoever. And Yachty they can come to him and they could say, hey, Wainwright, and hey, can you give him a call and tell him how good St. Louis is and how you like it and, help us out here. They can do that. They can do that. But I'm not going to go on my own and call the guy unless he's my golf partner or somebody like that. It's different. But I'm not going to go out and call somebody that I don't know unless the Cardinals tell me to do it. That's just how it happens.
Right. Second part of his question, because I think this will kind of sum up where we're at today. How long will the front office wait before having to move on to option number two? How long do you see this Stanton thing dragging out as far as the Cardinals' involvement? I don't even mean how long before we'll see something happen with him, but how long do you think is long enough for the Cardinals? Because, while I think they have other irons in the fire, he's a big iron. So even though they have other things they need to do, let's face it, I think their abilities to do other things change quite a bit.
I'm going to tell you this to all the fans. There's five number one things to do in the offseason. Five, not one. There's no Stanton's number one, Santana is number two. Wade Davis is number three. Monroe is number four. No. Get that out of your head, buddy. You're not being realistic. The realistic thing in here is there's five number ones. There's a priority on Stanton. There's a priority on two bullpen guys, or at least one. There's a priority on Santana. We can say an example. But there's all those are number one priority. What I mean by that is they're on the phone every single day to get those five priorities. And whatever happens first, happen first. Don't be surprised that if while they're trying to get Stanton, all of a sudden Eric Hosmer is signed by the St. Louis Cardinals. And you're like, wow, I thought we were after Stanton. And look, we got Hosmer. Oh man, I thought we were after Hosmer. And look, we signed Santana. You know what I'm saying? Right. So there's five number one priorities in their heads. There's not one, two, three, four, five. There's number ones. Wade Davis, number one. Greg Holland is number one. The Stanton Deals is number one. Santana, Hosmer, Mustakas is number one. And we could keep going down the line. While everything is happening, they're on the phone, busting their butt, calling everybody at the same time. Hey, what do you need? Hey, what is this? What is it going to take to sign Santana? What is it going to take to sign this? And whatever happens first fills up that, yes, you have priority because you want to have Stanton. But if it doesn't happen, believe me, they're not going to hesitate to sign Hosmer if they had the opportunity over Stanton. Or if they got the opportunity over Santana, they're not going to hesitate. Or Wade Davis or Greg Holland. Oh, no, let me wait for Stanton to sign Wade Davis. Well, somebody else might sign him. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
There's five number one priorities for the Cardinals, and they're taking care of it day by day.
Well, no doubt. You'd be naive not to think that the Stanton situation doesn't play some role in why other people are waiting. You brought it up earlier. A lot of these guys, I guarantee you, J.D. Martinez, Eric Hosmer, these guys are all sitting there going, whichever team really wanted him and didn't get him may turn to me and offer me a lot of money because they failed to achieve their goal. So it only stands to reason that some of that stuff's going on and has slowed down a little bit. But, you know, the big domino always seems to fall, and then everybody seems to react, and we'll see what happens after we get there. But we appreciate everybody's questions, and we just want to remind everybody that our Twitter questions are brought to you by Innovated Heating and Cooling. The Twitter poll and then the Twitter questions are Innovated Electric new construction panel changes, full service upgrades. They'll replace all your fixtures and devices. They do exterior and interior lighting as well. They can help you with any inspection violations. They're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. They have 35-plus years of experience, and they're second-generation craftsmen. InnovatedCompanies.com is all you'll need. They've put it all under one roof for you, and they can help you with all your construction needs. Make sure you give them an opportunity. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, my friend, I'm just ready for something to happen. As we move forward here, I'm kind of excited because I know the GM meetings, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. There seems to be a lot of interest from the Cardinals and a lot of different players. It would be totally Cardinal to have a trade kind of come out of nowhere that we didn't see. That wouldn't surprise me either. If they don't get Stanton, I love some of the rumors coming out of Tampa. I like Colome. I like Archer or even Odorizzi. That would answer some problems for us, but then we still got to go out and get another bat, at least one, if not two. So I'd be curious to see where this thing goes. And like I said, if the Cardinals can get some things done, ultimately I've said it once and I'll say it again, I'm going to judge them on when they're done. I'm going to look at the moves that they make in the offseason. I'm going to reassess the team and say, okay, I understand why they did this, but if it's underwhelming, then I'm going to have to say, well, they did what they thought was right, and as a fan now, they're going to have to go out and show me why I'm wrong and these moves they made are better than what I think they are. And that's the business they're in, and I think Tom Ackerman kind of summed it up for us when he was on the show. You're in St. Louis, you're in the business of winning, and at the end of the day, you have to provide these fans with a team that's going to compete. That's on the front office. It'll ultimately be on the manager to lead them on the field. But at the end of the day, we as fans, We don't want any excuses, and that's understandable, I think, at this juncture.
I don't think the Cardinals office or the Cardinals, anybody, the owners or anybody wants to have a team that can only compete, man. And you know this. And you as a fan, you're a big fan of the Cardinals. I am a big fan. I don't want to compete. I want to have a team out there that does perform to over-compete, you know, go over that competition and go over the Cups and go over and win the division and go to the playoff and go deep into a playoff. That's what I'm thinking. If I'm a Cardinal fan, I don't want to just compete, right? I mean, I don't want to just do that. I know what you're saying. I get it. But, no, I'm a Cardinal fan to the end, and I'm going to go to win the World Series. I'm not here to have a good enough team to compete. That was the last couple of years.
Well, again, I think no doubt. I think I'm with you on that. When I say compete, I mean compete for a World Series. I don't just mean be competitive.
I get it.
Yeah, hands down. I think we have some things to do. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm hopeful, but yet I'm going to need to see some proof in the pudding here from the Cardinals. I think we're going to see some of that here within the next couple weeks. As sooner or later, let's face it, things are going to happen because there's a lot of guys out there looking for work. So we'll see what happens. We're glad you guys have taken an opportunity to join us here for Two Birds on a Bat, our Monday edition. Make sure you check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's where you can subscribe to the show. You can listen to the current episodes or past episodes, but you can also do your shopping at Amazon and help us with our production costs a little bit by just clicking on the Amazon banner. Don't forget to follow us at our social media sites. You can find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up on Facebook. That's our big ask. Type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page, simply click invite your friends, and invite all your friends that are Cardinal fans. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Special thanks once again to lineupmedia.fm for all their continued support. They're the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Couldn't do the show without them. Thanks so much for all their continued support. Our producer, Brian Kroc, and associate producer, Andrew Allen. For Benji Molina on the m4byyachty.com hotline, I'm your host, Jim Cromer. We will see you on Thursday. Let's go Cards.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.